So I hope everybody got a good night's sleep and is ready now for lots of slides with code on it and complicated C++ code. Just to sort of get an idea, who of you, why is everybody sitting on that side and almost nobody on that side? So I'll mostly look at you guys, and you have to wave when you want my attention. So who here has used Osmium in some form or another, old or new version or something, before? Used or did something with it? Just a very few. Okay. Who of those who have not used it, who is familiar with C++ and can do C++? Okay, yeah, maybe I have to ask the other way around. Who doesn't know anything about C++? Okay. Will be a bit difficult for some of the stuff for you guys, but we'll see. Please, if you have any questions, please ask them. I don't know how we're going to do this with microphones and anything with the video, but if you have a question immediately, just show up and I'll try to answer them if I can. We've got an hour in this slot. I'll start talking, and when I don't want to talk anymore, I'll just stop at some point, and then there's also enough time for more questions. So I assume everybody knows a little bit about Osmium, otherwise you wouldn't be here, or have heard the name at least. Just a little bit of background. Osmium is at the moment really three things now. There's the libosmium C++ header library. That's how it all started. There's now a tool called a command line tool, also called Osmium, which basically wraps some of those code that is in the library and makes it accessible to the command line. And there's a node Osmium module, a module for the Node.js program to bring, at the moment, some of the stuff from the C++ side to the JavaScript side. This will be extended so that at some point, I hope, most of what can be done in C++ can also be done in JavaScript. I've been developing Osmium since October 2010, and for about a year now, I've been working on the new Osmium. And I'll talk later about changes here and there, but it's time to start thinking for those of you who have used the old Osmium, start thinking about using the new one. So one important thing with Osmium is it's all modular. You get lots of pieces that you have to bring together yourself, and you only pay for what you use. So all the stuff that you don't include, it's not in your code. There's no library that gets pulled in that's huge or something. You only get those use those pieces that you really want. And the other guiding principle for Osmium was for me always, there's too much software out there that works with little pieces of OSM data, but it's important that everything works with the whole planet. Of course, many people don't want to work with the whole plan, but with smaller parts, so that it still has to work. But it's important that everything is as efficient as possible so that you can work with the whole planet if you want to. The new Osmium has basically all the functionality of the old Osmium now. There might be a few bits and pieces here and there, but basically it's all there. It needs some more polishing. I need to write more tests, or if somebody else wants to help out. And I need to write more documentation. But you always need those things in any open source project. So if you're interested in that, start using the new Osmium now if you can, and so that we can find the bugs and that I get more people to use the code and tell me what's good and what's bad and where the problems are. There's the one exception here. If you can't use C++ 11 for one reason or another, then you have got a problem, because the new Osmium only works with C++ 11. But C++ 11 is such a great language, is so much better than the old C++ versions, that if you can do this at all, you please switch. It's much, much nicer. So let's try an example. This is the Osmium command line tool. Osmium, so this is a shell, something you type in the shell command line. You write Osmium, you have a subcommand, cut in this case. So it's a bit like Git, for instance, that Osmium has these subcommands. And cut means basically concatenate all the input files and write them out to the output. In this case, I only have one input file and I have an output file in a different format, and it automatically recognizes what the formats are, reads the one and writes the other. That's sort of the simplest thing you can do with Osmium. And we'll later see the C++ code that does that behind it. So Osmium has code for reading from files or from standard in. Obviously, you can also read from a URL. You can write to a file, you can write to standard out. It reads the XML format or different versions of the OSM or XML format. It reads the PBF format, and it reads a format called OPL, and I'll talk about that later. Compressed or uncompressed with BZIP or GZIP. Can read normal OSM files, history OSM files, change files, and it will detect using the file name what a file is supposed to be. Of course, you can override it if the detection, the auto detection doesn't work for some reason. You can tell them what kind of file it is, and it'll use that. So this is basically the same code. This is basically the code that is behind this command line. In C++, there's not much you have to do. You initialize a reader, give it the file name that you want to read. The header is initialized and read from the input file. We change the generator that will then show up in the XML. If you've ever seen an OSM file, you've seen that to my converter program. In this case, we initialize a writer, give it with a file name and the header that we've just defined, and then there's a loop reading buffers with data from the input side and write them out to the output side. That's basically exactly what is in this Osmium cut program. It's just this, with a little bit of program command line parsing and all that, command options parsing before that. I've in this in the code, can I, no, doesn't work with the laser pointer. I've got a mouse pointer. Yeah, okay. So in Osmium, all the classes in Osmium are in some kind of namespace. So all the input-output classes are in Osmium IO namespace. And this and then all later slides, I have left out those namespaces to make it easier to read on the slides. But normally you would write here Osmium IO reader and Osmium IO header and these kind of things. So this is a simple converter, and of course you can do lots of other things. You can set other options in the header, or you can work with the data in between, and we'll get some of those things. What is a very important concept in Osmium is this buffer that you can see here. So what happens is that the reader reads a certain amount of data from the input and puts it in a buffer. So it reads, in normal file, there would be nodes in the beginning, so it'll read the first 1,000 nodes or whatever fits in the buffer, and then it gives you a buffer back. You work with a buffer, and while you do that, because all the input-output is multi-threading, it will get more data from the input parse, the PBF parse, the XML, and all that, and give you back buffer by buffer. So all the OSM objects that you work with in Osmium live in those buffers. That's a bit strange to get your head around in the beginning, because they're not instantiated like normal C++ objects are. But once they are instantiated, you can work with them pretty much like normal C++ objects, except you can't change too much. So you've got a buffer here. This sort of, this thing is supposed to be the buffer. And there will be a few nodes in the beginning, and then there will be the ways and all of that. And the buffer keeps track of how much memory is used. That is a pointer to the committed in the end here. And the capacity of the buffer, and buffers can grow automatically if you want that. And then each object, for instance, this way number one here, it will have a header with a type and a length, so it knows when the next object is going to start, and then has some fixed object header with the ID, version timestamp, user ID, and all these things that are always have the same length. And then after that, there will be the nodes and the tags for array, for instance, or for a relation. There will be tags and members in the buffer, all in this one buffer. So you don't have pointers that point to different places and all the strings in other places. And this makes memory management easier and faster, and it makes it easier to do the multi-threading, because you don't have to keep track and lock each individual object, but only buffers that will be moved between different threads. So what falls from those buffers is objects can't change their size anymore. If I have an object and it has certain tags in it or something, and I want to add a tag, there's no space after it because the next object starts. If you want to do these kind of things, you have to copy objects around. But this is something that most people don't do really that often. You can do some smaller changes if you change the user ID that an object belongs to or something, that doesn't change the size, so you could do those changes. And you need special builder objects to build those objects in the buffer. And I'm not going to show any examples of that. Most people don't do that. Most people only read the OSM objects as they come from a file and then do something with it, so they never have to build the actual OSM objects. So this was a decision by me saying, okay, this is a bit more complicated, but most people don't have to do that. Most people only read the data, and it makes things more efficient this way. Less memory management overhead. Also those buffers can be written to disk or written to a socket. So it is very easy to read an OSM file and, for instance, write part of it to disk as some kind of cache storage, whatever. And Osmium also has ways of indexing those data, so you can find back which object was in which file, in which position. Here's another example of what Osmium, the command line tool, can do. Applying a change file, so you have the old OSM file, there are two change files that should be applied to it, and then the result should be written out to the new OSM file in this case. Basically, this is the same as Osmosis can do or OSM update. The difference here is that this also works with history files. So if you got in the old OSM PBF got a full history, the new one will also contain the history updated with the change files. And that works because Osmium handles history a little bit different than what some other programs are doing, especially what Osmosis is doing. For Osmium, there is no difference between an OSM object with or without history and an OSM change object. Those things that are in the OSC files, those change files, they all look the same in Osmium internally. Osmium keeps just track of that by having a deleted flag, just like the original database has. And so most or many things will just work with Osmium with history files, as long as you don't do some of the indexes or so, it will not work. But if you just read the data, it doesn't care whether those are history files or not. Basically, the difference is only in a history file, you have the same ID can show up several times with different versions. And if it's not, then you're guaranteed that the same ID will only show up once. What you can also do, for instance, is extract from a history file a specific time. So in this case, if you have a full history planet dump, and you're interested in how the planet looked on the January 1st, 2008, with this command, you get a planet file that looks hopefully more or less the same as the planet file if you have downloaded that day. We've seen the cut command already, and now I'm not writing out to an OSM BZ2 file, but to an OSM OPL file. And OPL is a new file format that I invented. It's called Object Per Line. That's where the name comes from. And this is a bit how it looks. It's just an example here. Those lines that are wrapping around here, they are supposed to be in one line. So all of this here will be one line, and then there's no empty line, and then will be the next line, will be the next object. So you have one object in each line, and then you have the different parts. So you have the node version, the deleted flag, change set in this format. You can see how it looks. Maybe this makes it a bit easier to see. You always have this sort of signal letter in the beginning that tells you what kind of type it is, but they always come in the same order. But this format is very easy to use with tools like grep and arc and sed and sort and all that from the command line. So for those of you who liked to use those tools, it's very easy to do certain things. So for instance here, if I have the Berlin OSM OPL for, file, that's what I'm reading here. I'm grepping for amenity equals postbox. So I get everything that's tagged amenity equals postbox. Of course, I would also get something if somebody had a username amenity equals postbox, I would also get that. But you can write the grep in a bit different way and then you won't get those. I sorted by the second column here numerically, so that's the version number, and then I get the last one that gives me the object that that is tagged postbox end with the highest version number there is. And in this case, you would get out this object. Again, I've wrapped the lines around. This would be one line that you get back. So you see this is node number 80308817106, and it has 21 versions. And this, just this one command line would find this for you, and you get all the tags and all this other information. And if you have a history, a dump, also in this OPL format, which you can also create with Osmium, of course, you could, for instance, grep here for this node ID and get the version number and the coordinates out there with this cut command, and this would be the result. You see all the versions, and you see there's lots of versions missing here. That's because the redaction bot was the 21st edit, and it removed all of those. And you can combine Osmium, of course, with lots of other great tools. XAPI, Overpass XAPI. For instance, if you can write the URL out, you can use it just as an input file. Osmium will detect that this is a URL and not a file name, and will get this URL, parse it for you. In this case, you have to tell it that it's a OSM format, because it doesn't know what comes back from the server, and write it out in OPL format directly, grep it through this thing here, and this will find all the bridges or everything tagged bridge equals yes in the bounding box from the XAPI, and that then get a list of names of those bridges out, and just writes them to the output. So this is just sort of one way of working with OpenStreetMap DAHA without writing big programs, and it's nice for people who are familiar with those tools. And if you're not familiar with those tools, then this looks all very complicated. Any questions so far? No, it's all too complicated. It's either it's too easy or too complicated. Yeah.
Is there any other tools that use that OBL format except for us?
No, at the moment nobody else uses that. Martin asked whether any other program uses this OPL format, and nobody uses it at the moment. This is just an invention by me, and I don't know whether that will ever be something that other people use. It has a few nice features, for instance, that it's reasonably easy to write by hand or understand, but it's still quite compact compared to the XML. But I'm not saying that we should ever like publish OSM data in OPL format. It is geared for using it and working with it, and not as a download format, for instance. I'm not proposing that this should be a general format that other people should use or something. One other thing I just remembered is at the moment I can only write this format, I can't read it. There is already code in different branch that parses that, but it's not integrated yet. But at some point we'll have that. We've already seen a few C++ examples with the buffers. If you want to copy around bigger buffers, if you want to access the objects themselves, the next possibility is using those using iterators. So you can wrap basically the reader that you initialize with the input file in this input iterator, and then you can loop just like you would in any kind of C++ loop. You can loop over those iterators and see each object that is in the file. You can also use this in any STL algorithm, and this is what makes this interesting. So for instance, this is another way of writing this copy. It's not as efficient as the other one because it will copy every single object and not whole buffers, but it would work. So you can wrap the reader in those iterators, you can wrap iterator around the writer, and then just use the STL copy command to copy from the input to the output. And of course, you can use all the other STL algorithms. This makes it, for instance, relatively easy to write the change apply stuff, because that's basically a sorting and reading things and writing them out in the right order. And that's just a few STL unions and stuff in the end. Of course, this is still too complicated for many cases. So you've got this handler architecture, where you can write handlers that you initialize once, and then the data is fed into those handlers one after another. So the data is read from the file, fed into the first handler, or the first object read from the input is fed in the first handler, the second handler, and so on. And then the next object is fed into all those handlers. And you can use some temporary storage in those handlers in some cases if you want to. So this is what you have to write. You write this class, in this case, my handler class. You derive it from the Osmium handler class, which basically gives you empty functions that you can then fill out. So you have got a node function, and every time there's a node in the input, this function will be called with that node. And every time there's a way in the input, this function, the way function will be called. And there's also callbacks for relations, and there'll be callbacks for areas later on, and I'll have slides about that. So again, we'll show some examples how this works. To initialize all of this, or sort of the main program, is again, you initialize the reader, you initialize your handler, and then you say Osmium apply, which tells Osmium to take the data, read the data from the reader. So the first argument here of the apply, that's where the data comes from. And then you can add a list of handlers here, and it will apply this data to all the handlers. As an example here, I want to compute the length of all the rows. There's a sum of the lengths of all the rows in an OSM file. The code for that is on this GitHub link there. And this will be three slides, and I've split it up into those three slides, but basically this is one program, and this does all you have to do. So if you copy this out, it should just compile and work. There's everything in there. You need a few includes. You include the handler, because you're going to need this, and you include the have a scene function, which you need to compute the length, and Osmium provides those. And then you write this handler. So this is all basically, that's the meat of your program. You tell it, initialize the length sum with zero, and then for every way that's in the file, you find out if it's tagged as highway, then add to this length the length of this way, basically. That's what you have to write to do the adding. Then it gets a bit complicated. If you know on an OSM file, you have the nodes in there, then you have the ways. But the ways don't have the coordinates where they are. So somebody has to take the coordinates out of the nodes and add them to the way, so the ways know where they are. And that is the node location for ways handler. That does it. So that's a handler like those other handlers I've described before. It will, for every node that comes by, it remembers, okay, this node with this ID is in this location. And then later on, when it sees a way, it'll look up for each node in the way. It looks up in its storage where the nodes all are and puts this information in the way. And then the next handler gets a way that has this information filled in, and can then do, for instance, this distance calculation, because it already has this information. It's a bit difficult to set up the node location for ways handler, because it's depending on your input. There are different ways of doing that, and they have different. They need different amounts of RAM or different amount of disk space and so on. So it depends. If you have a very small OSM file, you use a little bit of a different index than if you use a whole planet. And so there are some trade-offs. But basically, is you look at the examples and copy one of those things out. And I'm still trying to figure out how I can do this a bit simpler. So maybe somebody has an idea how I can do this, so you don't have to write that much boilerplate. Then you have to wrap all of this around, put it in the main function. So I need this first include line, any input. That means that the reader can read XML and PBF and all of that. If I know that I'm never going to read XML files but only PBF files, I can say include Osmium IO PBF input, and I would only get the code for that, and everything else is not even included. We need the visitor, that's for the apply function, and IO stream here for writing out the result in the end. So I initialize my reader again with, in this case, the command line, first command line argument. That's the file I'm reading from. I initialize here my location handler. I initialize my road length handler that I've written myself, and give everything to apply. Apply will do its thing, and once it's finished, once it has read all the data and pushed it through the location handler and your handler, you can ask your handler for the length. And in this case, I divide it by 1,000 and then write out that. So that's the kilometers we have in road lengths tagged as highway. Of course, you could change here in this case. This just checks whether those are tagged as a highway, but you could make more complicated checks here or whatever. So Osmium knows about geometries. As we have seen, it can add the node locations to the ways. That's something you will need in most of your programs. It can also assemble multi-polygons from the nodes and ways, and the members of the multipolygon relations. You've seen it can calculate line lengths, for instance. It can also convert geometries into different formats, WKT, WKB, and the OGR and GEOS formats. Basically, with those four, you have most of the use cases lined up. GeoJSON would probably be something we'd need at some point. And I'm going to show you one of those cases where how you can use it on the Node side. So there is this Node.js module that brings the Osmium functionality into Node. You just type npm install Osmium, and Dane Springmeier has set up some fancy stuff there that if you've got the right architecture on your computer and right OS versions, all that, it will just download a binary, and you don't even have to compile it yourself. And otherwise, it will download the stuff it needs and compiles it. And so this is a very simple, small JavaScript program that you can write. And so first line pulls in the Osmium library. Then we set up the handler, and again, we need this location handler, it's called here in JavaScript, that does the node location to way thing, and your own empty handler, in this case here. And then you say, I want to have for every UI, I want to call this callback, and it should write out to the console the WKT of the geometry of the way. And then, oops, hold on. Then you initialize your reader with the file name that you get from the command line, and again call apply and run this thing. So it looks similar to how it looks in C++. There's a few changes here and there, obviously, but this will give you the geometries of all the ways in your input file. Or going back to C++, a bit more complicated example. This one is doing the multipolygon assembly. For the multipolygon, I need a collector which finds all the different parts that are needed to assemble a multipolygon, and then an assembler in there somewhere. And I need again to read a file. I need to read the file twice because I first have to read it to get the multipolygon relations and remembers them in memory. This is what basically those three lines do. And I read the file a second time. Again, need the location handler to get the coordinates from the nodes into the ways, and call my handlers in the right way, and will assemble the multipolygons, and then call this my handler here, call the area function here, the area function on the my handler, just like it called the node or the way function on the handler. In this case, I'm using OGR to write out the multipolygon that was created into a shapefile or a SQLite file or whatever, into Postgres database or something. I'm not going to go through all the details here. If somebody has a question about that, yes. So in C++, a class is basically the same thing as a struct, and the difference, the big difference is that a struct, all the parts are by default public, and in a class, all the parts are by default private. So normally you would write, if you do it properly, you'd write a class and make only those things public that need to be public. But this, using a struct here instead of a class, saved me one line of writing public colon there on the slide. So. Oh, I'm sorry. He asked why, what that means is there's a struct that is derived from a public handler here. So yeah, as I said, it's a class basically. Just if to go through this because I asked around yesterday what people wanted to hear in this talk, and some people asked to get some information about, so what do I have to do if I use the old Osmium and want to switch over to the new one? What changed? So first thing, I mentioned that already, it's all C++ 11. It will not work with older compilers. You have to have at least GCC 2.7.3, I think. 2.8 is better, and Clang 3.2 is probably okay. 3.3 is better. There are many function signatures and other details that have changed here and there. The concepts are mostly the same, except this buffer thing, which is totally new. And the multi-threading, but the multi-threading you normally don't see. But there are lots of small details. For instance, the namespaces are now all lowercase. They used to be uppercase. And name changes, like, for instance, the position class is now called location. And so I've, with all the experience from the old Osmium, I changed things around here and there to make it more consistent and all that. I mentioned all the OSM objects live in buffers. If you only read the data, then this change won't affect you that much. But if you want to write your own objects in some way, things get a bit more complicated. All this memory management will be through those buffers. There are indexes and maps that the old Osmium doesn't have. So there's code for instance, where you can set up easily an index that gives you all for every way that you can find out which node is in which way or something like that, and there's a code for that. Multithread, I mentioned that. Multi-polygon assembly is done without GEOS. The new code, I do it all myself. There's no external library needed for that anymore. And the OSMJS program that we had in the old Osmium is gone, and instead I'm using Node.js, and Osmium is just a Node.js module. Thanks to GeoFabric, who paid for some of the early work of Osmium, and now Mapbox, who's paying for all the new development. So for the last year, I've been working for them, and they paid for all this development of an open source software, so that's great. And that's the end. Here's the website. There's not that much information there yet, but the new Osmium lives at this osmcode.org, and of course, all of that is in GitHub. Some of the examples that I've shown are either in the libosmium or in the Osmium contrib repositories, so you can see them there. Right, I've got another 20 minutes or so, and you can ask questions. But first, thank you for listening and not falling asleep. And so, are there questions? Everybody has fallen asleep. Pretty much, Andy. On which platforms should the NPM install Osmium? Well, it should work on all Mac or Linux things normally, but depending on what kind of architecture you have and all that, there will be a pre-compiled binary that will be downloaded, or if that doesn't work, it will compile. And to compile, you probably have to install Osmium before that. So you have to install the libosmium so that it can be found when compiling. He's looking into his screen, so he's trying it out while we speak. have you got it running, or?
Yeah, I haven't tested it yet.
It did install without problem, so. At least one person got it to run here. Thanks, Martijn. So, any other questions? Yeah, Roland.
Murray, a suggestion for the file format about just do a magic detection. I think I searched for if there's the first non-white space character is a is it less than, then I would expect it to be XML, and otherwise I expect it to be JSON. It's the first non-white space character in curly brace, and otherwise it's likely to be something binary.
Yeah. So his suggestion was, to auto-detect the file format from the content of the file. Look, for instance, if there's a less than sign in the beginning, it's probably XML. And I've thought about that. And with the old Osmium, I couldn't do that because I would give the input directly to a different library, XML library, for instance. And that wouldn't work. But with the new Osmium, this would actually work. And yes, it's a good suggestion. I should add that. It would make a few things easier. And I could also, if I use the HTTP, if I download using HTTP, of course, I could look at the headers and get the information from there also. Any other questions?
Have you considered putting up a version on that library so that users of the library can actually stick to a stable version or at least look up the change history to see what modification needs to be done to the old code?
Question was, I've heard that a few times, whether I considered doing versioning, proper versioning, and yes, I've considered that, and yes, I will start soon with proper versioning. Until now, I sort of considered Osmium to be a beta or whatever quality, and I would just tell everybody, you have to go to GitHub and you have to get the newest version, otherwise I don't care whether it works for you or not. But yes, at some point, now that sort of the software is used by more and more people and is growing up, it needs proper versioning. And then, of course, later on, also packages and all these things that come with it. And yes, the new Osmium will have that. Martin. The JavaScript interface, is it unchanged from the previous version? Now it has changed quite a bit. The old one was very ad hoc, how you sort of I thought it could look like, and the new one is a bit more like those things are usually done in the JavaScript world. I'm not a big JavaScript developer, so I need help there also from people who actually use that and to tell me how this is supposed to look. And we're still sort of fiddling around with that, and there might be changes in the future there. I'm not sure, especially with, at the moment, for instance, the JavaScript interface can't do the area stuff. The multi-polygon stuff is just not integrated yet. And I'm not sure exactly how this is going to look. JavaScript thinks, or JavaScript people think in a very different way from how C++ people think. And JavaScript has dynamic memory management, which the C++ side doesn't have and all that. And it's sometimes quite difficult to sort of integrate this and have something that looks reasonably similar between the different languages, but also uses the strengths of those languages. And it looks different, but on the other hand, the differences are not complicated in a way. I mean, you could go mechanically through the programs probably and change everything around, and most of the changes should be reasonably easy to do. Christoph. Okay, question was, could I elaborate on what functionality I want to have in Osmium and what doesn't fit in Osmium or something or should be done in a different place? So basically, I think everything that is directly related to working with OpenStreetMap data in one form or another, or that is useful for lots of people who work with OpenStreetMap data. So what I mean with that is reading files, for instance, in a specific OSM format, that's something that belongs in Osmium because there's no other library that will do that because it's specific to OpenStreetMap. So it belongs in Osmium. There are other things like, for instance, you saw the Havasin formula to calculate the distance. And that is a pretty generic geometric thing that you could pull in from a different library, and it doesn't have to be an Osmium, but it's something that lots of people want to have, and is something that makes it easier if you can directly work with Waze and don't have to convert them into a GEOS format or something, pull in a different library. So I decided, and it's not such a big thing, so I decided to bring it in. And of course, it doesn't cost you anything if you don't use it. You just don't include this header file, and it doesn't cost anything in your code. Everything that has to do with basic OSM data management, that is sort of the area that Osmium is interested in. This is not about, it's not a rendering thing, for instance. It's not a routing library, or all those things don't belong in there, but just sort of the basic building blocks for working with OpenStreetMap data. And yes, this might be vague, and I'll decide in each and every case. Did you have some specific thing in mind? Spatial data, yeah, he's asking for spatial database stuff. For instance, maybe an R tree or something, so he can find OSM objects in a specific area or something like that. I don't know. This could be something that might be interesting for lots of people. So maybe this is something we could add at some point, but I've no plans for that. And maybe that goes too far. I'm not sure. Yes.
Did you do some conversion in terms of speed, conversion to osmosis? How fast is your program?
Yeah, so he was asking about speed comparison, benchmarking, comparing to other software that use OSM data. I've done a little bit here and there. And the answer is, as always, it depends. Unfortunately, I haven't yet, the multi-polygon code is quite new, and I haven't benchmarked it yet against old multi-polygon code, and that is going to be interesting. Reading files is quite fast because I use this multi-threading now, and if you don't use multi-threading, you can't compete with that at some point. Although the OSM update, OSM filter program is also quite good because it takes some shortcuts, which I don't. And compared to the old Osmium, it is a lot faster reading, writing OSM data. It's faster than osmosis for some things. That being said, there's still room for improvements. There's still areas where the code needs more benchmarking and more profiling to figure out which parts we can make faster. Osmium is generally quite good because it tries to use templating a lot. It doesn't use in many cases doesn't use virtual function calls and all that, so the code can be inlined, and the code, all the code that's not used, will hopefully just be removed by the compiler. I don't have any numbers to tell you, but in many cases it is faster, although not hugely faster than things like osmosis or so.
I have a question about node coordinates. From your example with row length, it's work is hand left and it's reads. Yes.
Let me find this. Okay. This slide here?
Yeah, that's right. Maybe next slide where it fill locations for nodes. I wanted to ask, where are those locations stored? Because previously you mentioned that each object can be modified. And in initial
yes, yeah.
Of way, there is only identifiers of nodes.
Yeah.
And location should be sorted.
Yeah. So the question was, I said that I'm adding the node locations to the ways in those handlers, but earlier I had said that you can't change the objects anymore because they have once they have the length fixed, they can't be changed. And in this specific case, I leave space, enough space in the way that I can put the locations in there later on, because this is something that needs to be done so often. This is a special case. I leave the space in there, so I store basically the node ID, and afterwards there will be 8 empty bytes for every node, and so I can put this information in there later. Good catch.
I read sources and was confused a little bit.
You had sources one?
No.
No. Everything's all right. Okay, thank you. Okay. Any other question?
Have you given any consideration to how easy it would be to write a Java?
Have I given any consideration to how easy it would be to write a Java wrapper? No, I haven't. If you want to do things in Java, I would recommend use Osmosis, probably. I don't know generally how easy it is to write Java wrappers for C++ code. It's bad enough to do this for JavaScript. And some people have asked about different languages like Python or so, and that's certainly things that can be done. But at the moment I'm only supporting the C++ side and the JavaScript side, because Mapbox is interested in that, so that's what I'm doing. But I'm open if some people want to do something else to help them with getting other wrappers going. Anybody else? Anything else I should show, or anything? I'll be around all day, so Lucas, you look like you might have a question.
Yes, my question was, when you do the storage for the coordinates for ways,
yes,
you have several options,
yes,
to choose from. And I was unsure what to choose when I was using Webosio.
Okay, so the question was, when I store the node locations for the ways, there are several options, and he was unsure which one to use. And so that is a bit difficult because there are several trade-offs to make there. So as we have the time, I can go through those. If you have the whole planet, the most space-efficient way, and actually quite the easiest way of storing all those node locations, is basically have a big array, and the index into the array is the ID of the node. And in the array, you store the location. The thing is, for that, you need about 20 gigs now or something to store all those locations for the whole planet file. If you have a smaller input file, you don't want to do this, because most of your node locations will be empty, because most of your nodes will not be in your input data. So you choose a different way of storing that. Traditionally, the best, or what I recommend with the old Osmium, was the sparse table, which is basically a map or a hash that Google developed that can very space efficiently store data. So it's more space efficient than an STL std map or so. So you only need as much memory as you need for the data itself. The overhead is quite low, but it's still, for the whole planet, it would be too large. So this is sort of one difference is the way the things are stored. The other question is, do you have enough RAM or not? If you don't have enough RAM, you need to store to disk, which will make everything a lot slower, obviously. But if you can't, do any if you don't have the RAM, that's your only option. And then there's one other thing, which is a problem with Mac users. Mac users, the BSD kernel doesn't support the mremap call, and so they can't use some of the options there. So ideally, for the Planet file, I recommend to use a big array, and that array is you get from anonymous shared memory, and Osmium will grow it automatically. And this growing you can't do on the Mac because it doesn't have the kernel call to do that. It doesn't have the mremap call. In that case, you can use an shared memory backed by a file, and then just delete the file, and you're not interested in that file. I don't recall exactly what the names of those handlers are, but I can look them up and tell you later. So basically, sparse table is the one I would use for smaller files. So up to the whole of Germany or something's fine, but continent sized and planet file, I think is called dense map something, dense map mmap or something. I have to look it up. And there's a lot more, and at some point I need to do benchmarking with all of them to figure out for all the different sizes of planets and which one is the best. And I've never done that in a systematic way. So it's still a bit problematic, that area. All the examples that are on GitHub and all that, they all use sparse table, I think. So they work out of the box with smaller data sets. And when you have larger data sets at some point, you have to figure this out. There's also, I think there's in a manual, there's a little bit information about that. Should be. I remember writing something. There is a manual. It is on the... The source code is in the libosmium manual repository, and it's linked from osmcode.org. It is still very sparse, but there is some information in there, and when I have the time, I'll work on that and add more things there. So, any other last questions, comments, or anything? No, doesn't look that way. Okay, thanks for listening, and I'll be around the whole day, so you can come up and ask questions or whatever. Thank you.